Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, a mixture of sun and clouds. Might see a stray shower. We'll have a high around 87. Kenosha right now, 65 degrees, 68 in Burlington, 67 Milwaukee, still 64 in Racine. Very dry conditions in southeast Wisconsin. There is a ban on burning in the Racine County town of Norway until further notice. Ban was issued last week, as of last Friday, in fact. It means no outdoor burning is being allowed in Norway for the time being. That is the order of the Wind Lake Fire Chief. In Kenosha this morning, three residents of a home safely evacuated. Fire of undetermined origin started on the outside porch at 1017 42nd Street. This is just before 2:30 this morning that the 911 call came in. Engines and paramedics went racing to the scene. A police officer got there first, confirming plenty of flames and concern for anybody who might still be inside. A call was made for an investigator to come look into the circumstances of how this fire may have started. We Energies also brought in. There were some downed power lines reported. Racine Unified School Board, near the end of last night's business meeting, approved a letter to Congress asking for a timely, humane replacement to the Deferred Action for Children Arrivals program. Also, though, a resolution, which stirred up a whole bunch of discussion. This resolution coming as an amendment from Brian O'Connell. He suggested it's more for the community's peace of mind.
I think we do have good policies in place. I think the issue is that the community apparently doesn't recognize that, doesn't know about them, or we would have not had a discussion which began, to my knowledge, in April with accusations that we do not, or that we do not take actions to reassure our students and reduce the fear that they may be having.
Dennis Weiser said it should go through the governance committee. He also noted some of the language is really beyond the board's authority.
We are doing good things in this area. I would like to see us continue to do good things in this area. I would like to see the board adopt a policy that respects how the board is supposed to compose a policy and not just adopt something because it makes you feel good. We should do the business of the board the way the board is supposed to do business.
Final vote to approve the Governance Committee supported letter to Congress on DACA and the last minute included resolution, 5-3, board members Weiser, Whitkey, and Hanser voting against. Where Foxconn is going to build that gigantic production plant, still the subject of all kinds of speculation, and some of the folks who might be affected by it went to the village board meeting last night seeking answers. One of them, Shannon Hilbert, lives on Brown Road in the area believed to be in the sights of Foxconn, urged the trustees support the residents who are going to be losing, she said, their neighborhood.
I know a lot of people are excited for this new chapter, but please do not forget the cost to the families that have to relocate. We are not only losing the houses that we've spent many years making a home, but we are losing our neighbors, our neighborhood, with people who have become family. So when it comes time to announce the location and start acquiring the land and the homes, I hope my village and my community will support us and make sure that we are fairly compensated.
Village President Dave DeGroote went to Japan last week for what he described only as a fact-finding trip, said everybody wants to get the information out. It's been widely reported, of course, that Foxconn is looking at land to the east of the interstate and south of Highway 11. You know, it's getting to the point that just about every community now in eastern Racine County is having some level of discussion about the Foxconn project and its potential impact. Officials, of course, though very careful otherwise, with their comments in public. Caledonia's Community Development Authority touching on the issue. Village President Bob Bradley, a smile on his face, acknowledging a residual impact if the facility, he said, goes into the Mount Pleasant sort of an area, but claiming he doesn't know for sure. Now, he said any large manufacturing facility on that kind of an order would mean a rather significant need for water. And when it comes to Caledonia contributing to regional growth, the village did negotiate in advance on that. He further touched on community services that could be impacted, like other communities have also discussed. Public safety, transportation, just a few.
Fire protection, police service. I mean, you got a train running across by the Meadows restaurant. And if you have to have fire service, are you going to build a new fire station? Are you going to consolidate and go with the big group? Those are the things that Resilient Racine is working on. How can we collaborate and, you know, do more stuff jointly?
Meanwhile, the Racine County Board set to meet again as a committee of the whole at 5:30 tonight ahead of the regular business meeting. Single item agenda listed in the closed session, competitive economic development opportunities in the village of Mount Pleasant. But also now county leaders are being quizzed by the media regarding that state incentives bill that includes language to allow Racine County a sales tax to pay for things related to Foxconn. And in Kenosha County, the former Dairyland Greyhound Park, now officially with a new owner, Los Angeles-based Majestic Realty Company. No purchase price disclosed. Majestic planning and industrial development on that 228-acre site. Starting up next year, UW Parkside is going to have a new affiliation when it comes to athletics. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Chancellor Debbie Ford and Director of Athletics Andrew Gavin announced Monday that Parkside will become a full member of the NCAA Division II Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference beginning with the 2018-19 school term. According to a news release, Parkside accepted an invitation from the conference that was extended with the unanimous support of the conference's membership. Parkside is currently a member of the Great Lakes Valley Conference, which banned the school from all postseason competition after Parkside self-reported a possible violation regarding the eligibility of a wrestler to compete. An NCAA review found 9 secondary violations but did not impose any sanctions. However, the GLVC handed down the postseason ban. Parkside spokesman John Milkey said the sanctions were a motivating factor in exploring a new conference. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
The fiscal year for Racine Unified runs July 1st to the end of June the following year, and that explains why a working budget is necessary before each year begins and why a preliminary budget for the current school year has been approved by the Board of Education to hold a public hearing in about 3 weeks. Budget Director Mark Duff says nothing has changed much based on calculations and reasonable expectations. Tax rate going to stay at $10 per thousand assessed valuation. That is a penny lower than a year ago.
But I still don't have our final aid certification. I still don't know how many voucher students we have. We won't know that until October 13th or 14th. And all of that would still have a fairly significant impact on our final tax levy, but this is what I'm estimating.
Public hearing for the current year budget in Racine Unified the evening of Monday, October 16th. District waits, of course, on some all-important numbers to replace the guesstimates in the spending plan. Higher expectations for Racine County youth. Second annual report going to be coming out tomorrow at the Wingspread Conference Center. Group is going to be talking about what they have done in the past year and plans to continue working toward a goal of a fully capable and employed Racine County. This year, Higher Expectations, a partnership with individuals and organizations all across the community, made a number of strides toward the career to cradle pipeline, that is, and built the capacity with a greater community to make data-driven decisions going to lead to improved outcomes for students and families, they say. www.johnsonfdn.org with more information about that gathering tomorrow. In Mount Pleasant, it could cost between $650,000 and $1.1 million to shore up that part of the bluff on Lake Michigan in Mount Pleasant, the one that was hit by erosion recently, while the village still waits on the Army Corps of Engineers for something more permanent. Last night, the Board of Trustees approved seeking bids and a funding mechanism for a plan developed by Terracon, the company that they hired to recommend how to save threatened public infrastructure. The plan approved last night would use some funds already borrowed for a road project. Trustee Sonny Haven saying that this is an emergency and the process needs to move quickly.
Steve came up with the idea of borrowing from the roads and has checked with Ellers, I believe it was Ellers you checked with, Steve. And it is legal to do that. So we want to make sure that we didn't have any problems with that. And I think that would be our best solution rather than go out and borrow more money right now, a bond for more until such time as we know what we're actually going to spend.
Steve, by the way, is the public works manager for Mount Pleasant. That proposal last night passing it unanimously. A red pickup truck that was connected to a death investigation on Racine's west side found this past weekend, but otherwise there's nothing new to report in that case. Police Sergeant Adam Alacara only confirming that the vehicle in question was found and the case is still under investigation. WRJN News Twitter update, by the way, early Sunday morning noted police went to the Speedway station at Ohio and Washington just before 1:30 a.m. where they found that truck. As for the investigation, this is focused on a home in the 4200 block of Victory Avenue, a body found inside back on September the 11th. Crime scene tape surrounding that home for a time, a marked squad car visible for a couple of days parked across the street. Otherwise, no information has been officially released thus far. And this final week in September is Rail Safety Week in Wisconsin, proclaimed by Governor Walker. Part of that recognition has the state DOT joining with the Office of the Commissioner of Railroads, Wisconsin Operation Lifesaver, and Federal Railroad Administration, plus the rail companies, to increase awareness about safe practices at train crossings and around tracks, like at Amtrak's Hiawatha line through Racine and Kenosha counties. Participants in today's safety effort include Sturtevant's Police Chief Sean Marschke and Caledonia Police Captain Brian Wall. They are emphasizing caution and common sense at crossings. Last year in Wisconsin, two people were killed, 15 injured at 46 railroad crossing crashes. One person died, three hurt, injured while trespassing on train tracks. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast there in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.